Have you ever logged into a client's system to, fix a simple IT bug or maybe just to run a routine, totally boring report?
Right, just everyday stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But what if doing that completely mundane task secretly bound you to federal securities laws that you frankly didn't even know existed?
And I mean, the scariest part of that scenario isn't some, shadowy backroom deal orchestrated by billionaires.
Oh, totally.
The scariest part is that the legal trap gets said while you're just drinking your morning coffee, casually clicking accept on a routine DocuSign agreement just to do some tech support.
That banality is really what makes this so terrifying. And while that is exactly what we are focusing on today,
It's a huge issue.
it really is. So for this deep dive, we are examining a detailed corporate compliance scenario from Excellus. It's called the Invisible Insider. And the source material outlines this really startling chain reaction where one innocent database log check triggers a massive multi-company federal crisis.
It escalates so incredibly fast.
Right. And our mission today is to unpack all the hidden legal traps buried in everyday vendor agreements, really ensuring you, the listener, understand how just doing an ordinary job can suddenly make you an insider. Okay, let's unpack this by jumping right into the specific details of a totally normal Tuesday morning that turned a regular IT guy into a federal target.
Yeah, so we're looking at a senior technical support specialist named Alex Reyes,
Okay.
and he works for a 32-person clinical trial software vendor. So, it's a very standard mid-level IT role.
Right, nothing crazy.
Exactly. And on this particular Tuesday morning, he is fixing a database sync error for one of his company's enterprise clients, BioNovex Therapeutics.
And just to give some context, BioNovex is a publicly traded mid-sized biotech company. And according to the scenario, their primary pipeline asset is this novel oncology drug called BNX4471.
That's right.
And it has been in phase three trials for, what, 3 years? So the market knows an FDA decision is imminent. And because of all that anticipation, their stock is currently hovering right around $24 a share.
So Alex is logged into their system via his vendor portal, just running routine diagnostics.
Yeah.
He's really just trying to get two databases to talk to each other.
Just normal IT stuff.
Yeah, just his job. But while he is testing the sync, an automated FDA gateway notification inadvertently populates right on his screen.
Oh, man.
And it clearly reads, FDA NDA approved. Submission BNX4471, effective today.
Wow. So the drug is approved,
It's approved.
but the press release hasn't gone out yet. I mean, the market is completely in the dark.
Exactly.
But Alex knows. He knows this company well enough to realize that this single oncology drug is basically their entire pipeline. Once this news goes public, that $24 stock is going to rocket up like 40 to 80% instantly.
Oh, at least.
To me, this is like it's like calling a plumber to fix a leak under your kitchen sink, but while they are down there with a wrench, they accidentally knock over a loose brick and stumble upon the blueprints to your company's secret vault.
That is a great way to look at it.
Right, because the plumber didn't try to come in, they didn't come looking for the blueprints. But suddenly, they have the keys to the castle.
And what's fascinating here is the specific legal mechanism that turns that hypothetical plumber, or our IT tech Alex, into a major federal liability. It's built around something called the misappropriation theory.
Which I'm looking at this and thinking, Alex doesn't actually work for BioNovex.
Right.
He's just a vendor. He doesn't have an employment contract with them. He doesn't own shares. And he certainly isn't an executive. So how can the SEC treat him the exact same way they'd treat a corrupt CEO?
Well, it all comes down to a legal duty of trust. Under U.S. law, specifically drawing from the landmark 1997 Supreme Court case, United States v. O'Hagan, trading on material non-public information, which regulators call MNPI, is securities fraud if you misappropriated that information in breach of a duty of trust.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it genuinely does not matter if you work for the issuer or the stock. Regulators really only care whether you owed a duty of confidentiality to the source of the information.
But wait, where does that duty actually come from? Because Alex is just running software diagnostics. Like, he's just fixing a database.
Right, but it comes from the paperwork his boss signed a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 12 months prior to this Tuesday morning, Alex's software company and BioNovex signed an 18-page Master Service Agreement, or an MSA.
Okay, the MSA.
And buried deep inside those 18 pages is a standard three-paragraph non-disclosure agreement
Right.
that NDA is the legal bridge.
That's the trap.
Exactly. It creates the duty of trust. The very second Alex logs in with his vendor credentials, that NDA makes him a de facto insider.
I see. And I understand the European Union approaches this even more aggressively, right? The sources mention EUMR Article 8.
Oh, absolutely. The EU Market Abuse Regulation, or MR, is actually much broader than the US framework. The US relies heavily on proving that breach of duty we just talked about.
Right.
But under EUMR Article 8, the prohibition applies to virtually anyone who possesses inside information and knows, or frankly, ought to know, that it is inside information.
Wow, so it's much stricter.
It is essentially a blanket prohibition based on mere possession. Completely, regardless of whether a specific NDA created a fiduciary duty.
Right.
So in an increasingly globalized data environment, Alex's accidental discovery is just a massive legal landmine across multiple jurisdictions.
That is wild. So Alex now possesses market-moving information, and he is bound by a strict legal duty not to use it. If he's thinking clearly, he just logs off, reports the accidental access, and walks away.
Right, that's what he should do.
But the pressure of the opportunity, and let's be honest, the pure temptation of easy money kicks in.
Human nature.
Exactly. He thinks he can outsmart the system by exploiting a loophole, so he steps out to the parking lot and calls his sister, Susan.
And Susan is a nurse practitioner. She has this small retail brokerage account she barely even touches.
Right.
Alex calls her up and tells her to buy BioNoF stock immediately. And crucially, he explicitly tells her, don't ask questions.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And Susan logs into her account and buys 800 shares at $24.20.
See, I struggle to see how a nurse who just trusts her brother is suddenly on the hook for federal securities fraud.
It seems unfair, right?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't sign the MSA. She didn't sign the NDA. She probably doesn't even know what BioNovX does. How can she be legally liable if she genuinely didn't know where the tip came from?
She becomes liable through a very powerful legal doctrine known as willful blindness.
Willful blindness.
In the eyes of federal prosecutors, deliberately avoiding facts to shield yourself from wrongdoing is legally treated as actual knowledge.
So just pretending not to know the details is legally the exact same as knowing them.
Exactly the same. Susan was presented with a highly unusual request from her brother. Basically, drop $20,000 into a random biotech stock, and whatever you do, do not ask me why.
Right. Huge red flag.
Huge. She sensed the ambiguity. She felt the red flags. But she chose not to investigate because she wanted the financial benefit of the trade without the burden of the truth. That active choice to avoid the facts establishes her liability.
Wow. And Alex probably thought he was a total mastermind here. He likely assumed that by putting the trade in a different city with a different last name using a nurse's retail account, he was building this impenetrable firewall between his IT job and the stock market.
Which represents just a catastrophic misunderstanding of how modern regulatory enforcement works.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When we look at SEC algorithms today, the single most commonly detected insider trading pattern is dormant or third-party family accounts suddenly activating to buy stock right before a material announcement.
How do those algorithms actually connect the dots, though? I mean, if the account is in her name, how does a computer know it's connected to a vendor in another state?
Well, the SEC uses tools like the Consolidated Audit Trail, or CAT, alongside these really advanced relational analytics.
Okay.
These systems don't just search for identical last names. They ingest massive amounts of metadata. They look for geographic proximity. They map shared IP addresses.
That's what, exactly?
Like, say Alex ever logged into his own bank account from Susan's Wi-Fi during Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh.
Yeah. They look at overlapping bank records, Venmo histories, and shared cell phone towers.
That is insane.
It is. If a dormant retail account makes a highly profitable, perfectly timed options trade, the algorithm instantly builds a web of every known associate of that trader and cross-references them against anyone who had access to the MNPI.
So by trying to build a firewall, he essentially built a conspiracy case.
Exactly.
He lit a giant neon flare for the regulators.
And from a legal standpoint, that distance he tried to create makes his exposure exponentially worse. By involving his sister, he didn't just commit misappropriation. He added a federal conspiracy charge to his list of offenses, and he dragged Susan in as a co-defendant.
Man. So Alex and Susan think they've committed the perfect invisible crime. But they don't realize that while retail trading feels anonymous, corporate data access is relentlessly tracked.
Yep.
And that brings Rachel Chen, BioNovX's chief compliance officer, into the picture.
Right.
Let's look at Thursday morning. The FDA approval has been made public. The market reacts exactly as Alex predicted. The stock rockets up 73%.
But over at BioNovX headquarters, Rachel gets an automated alert. Her equity monitoring service flags unusual trading activity. a small retail account with absolutely no prior history in BioNovex stock, bought 800 shares on Tuesday morning.
Susan's shares.
Exactly.
So Rachel begins investigating. She pulls the DLP system report, and DLP stands for data loss prevention, right?
Yeah. And what she finds is the thread that just unravels Alex's entire scheme. The DLP report shows that Alex's vendor support session triggered a read receipt on the FDA gateway notification at 9.47 a.m. on Tuesday.
Wait, how does a piece of software know he actually read that specific pop-up? Couldn't he just argue he was getting a cup of coffee when it flashed on the screen?
You'd think so, but modern DLP software is incredibly sophisticated. It isn't just a simple log of who logged in and when.
What else does it do?
It tracks active window time. It knows that the FDA notification was the foreground window. It logs keystrokes, mouse movements, and dwell time. It even captures a hash of the exact file access.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the system can definitively prove that the FDA approval window was active, centered, and engaged with for a specific duration.
So it's not like dropping a physical ID badge at a crime scene. It's like breaking into a house, but leaving your smartphone automatically connected to the homeowner's Bluetooth speaker?
That's exactly it.
You might be physically gone, but the network remembers exactly when you were there and what you interacted with. And the craziest part here is the timing.
The DLP logged his access at 9.47 a.m. Susan's brokerage trade was timestamped exactly 43 minutes later.
43 minutes. That is the digital footprint that connects the entire case. Rachel, the compliance officer, she did everything perfectly.
She really did.
She had the vendor controls in place. She had the MSA and the NDA signed. She had the DLP monitors running. She had the equity surveillance active. But she is still holding a ticking time bomb.
She is. Because BioNovex is the victim of Alex's misappropriation. But Rachel is still staring down a massive organizational crisis. Mm. The SEC is going to find the exact same 43-minute gap she just found.
Right.
And when they do, BioNovex will have to face brutal regulatory scrutiny, massive legal fees, board of director briefings, and huge reputational exposure.
See, if I'm Rachel, my first instinct is to wait. You don't want to invite the SEC into your house if you don't have to. You might hope it just flies under the radar.
Sure, it's a natural reaction.
But I'm guessing in this regulatory environment, playing defense like that actually makes you look guilty of a cover-up.
Oh, playing defense is the fastest way to turn your company into a target. If an organization just monitors a breach and waits, it reads as a lack of good faith to regulators. Rachel's best and really only play is proactive disclosure.
Okay, so what does she do?
She must immediately brief her general counsel, begin a formal internal investigation to preserve all logs, and crucially, she has to contact the vendor's legal team with the DLP evidence before the SEC initiates contact.
So she has to show the SEC that BioNovex caught the breach and acted on it the very second they had the data. Documented, immediate good faith response is the organization's strongest shield.
Which means Rachel has to make a highly unpleasant phone call. She dials the vendor's CEO, bringing this massive federal crisis straight to the desk of the man who unwittingly started it all by signing a piece of paper 12 months ago.
And enter Marcus Webb. He is the CEO of the clinical trial software company where Alex works. Marcus built this business from the ground up. They have 14 enterprise clients, and 9 of them are publicly traded companies just like BioNovex.
Yep.
So Marcus is sitting at his desk on Thursday afternoon, and he gets a call from the general counsel at BioNovex. They tell him there's a potential insider trading event connected to his company's support session. They have the 43-minute timestamp. They have the trading record. And they are demanding the preservation of all access logs, noting that they will be cooperating fully with the SEC.
Brutal phone call.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around how a CEO misses this. How do you accidentally outsource your entire workforce to SEC oversight without realizing it?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it really comes down to the legal chain of custody for data. Historically, a company's legal perimeter was just the physical walls of their headquarters.
Right, like physical filing cabinets.
Exactly. But in a cloud-based, SaaS-driven world, the legal perimeter extends to wherever the data goes. When BioNovex allows vendor access, they are legally extending their boundary into Marcus's office. By signing that MSA, Marcus legally accepted the burden of maintaining that perimeter.
But he just saw a standard boilerplate in that MSA. He read the scope of work. He negotiated the payment terms. He viewed the NDA as a shield for trade secrets, not a securities compliance instrument.
And that blind spot is a massive systemic training gap that exists today in millions of non-public companies, IT firms, consulting groups, accounting practices.
Just everywhere.
It is. Neither Marcus nor anyone on his legal team flagged that NDA as an SEC trigger. The moment he signed it, he bound every employee touching that account to a federal duty of trust. But he never trained them on it. He probably thought insider training was only for Wall Street bankers or public company executives.
So Marcus is staring down a massive civil lawsuit from a major client, plus SEC scrutiny over his company's internal controls. His gut reaction is probably to fire Alex, bury the logs, and claim it was just one rogue employee making a bad decision. You know, just minimize the blast radius.
Which would be the absolute final nail in his company's coffin.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Every instinct to protect the company by limiting disclosure makes his legal position worse. Regulators punish the cover-up harder than the crime itself. Marcus's only correct path forward is total transparency. He must retain outside counsel, cooperate fully, and preserve every single digital record.
And he can't just stop with Alex, right? Because he has 8 other publicly traded clients.
Right. He must immediately audit every other publicly traded client account. He needs to figure out which other employees have similar system access under similar NDA frameworks, but lack the proper training.
Wow.
And he has to deploy insider training to all 32 of his employees before another single IT ticket is opened. It is an ethical obligation, but practically speaking, it's his only legal protection against regulators establishing a pattern of corporate negligence.
This whole scenario highlights a massive systemic gap, but let's make it personal. Let's talk about the listener playbook.
Okay.
Because right now, someone listening to this deep dive might be an Alex or a Susan. They might have access to sensitive client data, or they might get a weird phone call from a family member.
It happens.
If you find yourself staring at an FDA approval or an unreleased earnings report on a client server, logging off and pretending it didn't happen seems like the safest bet. Just walk away. But based on the DLP tracking we talked about, that's practically an admission of guilt.
Because silence in the face of logged access looks like deliberate concealment. If that access log is discovered later and you said nothing, regulators assume you are looking for a way to use it.
So what is the actual fix?
Well, Alex's only correct choice was to close the session immediately and then document in writing that very same day that accidental access occurred. He needed to detail exactly what he saw, when he saw it, and state clearly that it was an accident.
Right.
Then he needed to report that documentation to his own company's compliance team immediately.
It's all about the paper trail. That written record is the only thing that proves your innocence. It proves you recognize the MNPI and actively chose to quarantine it.
Exactly.
Okay, but what about Susan? She's on the phone with her brother. He says, buy the stock and don't ask questions. Hanging up seems sufficient to keep her out of jail.
Hanging up protects her from liability in that specific moment, but it leaves the threat active. It leaves Alex spiraling, likely to try his scheme with someone else, which eventually brings the investigation right back to her doorstep anyway.
So she has to go a step further.
Susan needed to refuse the trade and then explicitly name the crime. She needed to say the exact words, "This sounds like insider trading."
Wow.
And then she needed to tell Alex to hang up the phone and call his company's compliance team before he did anything else.
That is a brutal conversation to have with family. You're basically accusing your brother of a federal crime over a random Tuesday morning phone call. Avoiding federal prison in this scenario requires you to say the exact awkward, uncomfortable words that neither of you wants to say out loud.
It's deeply uncomfortable. But naming the crime forces the reality of the situation into the open before the damage is done. It breaks the illusion of willful blindness. And this specific dynamic, you know, the human vulnerability combined with massive data access, is driving a major shift in enterprise vendor management right now.
How so? Are companies just auditing their MSAs more closely?
It goes way beyond audits. Because of scenarios exactly like this one, enterprise compliance teams are no longer just trusting the vendors will behave. They are actively requiring insider training certification as a mandatory part of MSA renewals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If a vendor needs production system access to sensitive data, their employees have to be certified in insider trading compliance.
So it's no longer just an internal issue for public companies. It has officially become a supply chain issue. If you want the lucrative enterprise contract, you have to prove your team won't accidentally commit securities fraud.
Exactly.
Bionovex couldn't control whether Alex was trained yesterday, but moving forward, they can make that training a contractual prerequisite before the next MSA is ever signed.
We live in an era where data is so deeply interconnected that a mid-level tech support worker, just doing their routine job, can accidentally wield more market-moving power than a seasoned Wall Street analyst.
Here's where it gets really interesting, and it brings us to the core of why we unpacked all of this today. The biggest takeaway here is that an NDA is not just a polite agreement to keep a trade secret quiet. If you are accessing a public company's data, that NDA is a federal securities law tripwire.
It really is.
And if you stumble over it, trying to create distance through a family member's brokerage account will not protect you. The SEC's algorithms are specifically designed to ingest metadata, track IP addresses, and map relationships to find that exact pattern of behavior.
They will find it.
The only thing that protects you is an immediate documented paper trail of the accidental access. So what does this all mean? It means whether you are a consultant, an accountant, or just the IT tech trying to fix a database sync error, your everyday access carries massive legal weight.
Which leaves us with a final thought to consider for you to sort of mull over today. What other invisible legal bridges are you crossing every time you click login on a client's server?